So as we kick off this new liturgical season, beginning with the season of Advent here, what does Advent mean? You know, I've been asking the same question 4 years. So maybe next year we'll get it. What does the word Advent mean? Okay, you got it. Okay, all right. This is the first mass. Okay, good. I knew this mass was smarter. Yes, it literally means coming. What's coming? Right? Yes, it's a time of waiting and hoping for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the first 2 weeks focus on actually the second coming, kind of similar to the theme of last Sunday when we celebrated Christ the King, right? When he will come again to judge the living and the dead. So this focus on the end times, the second coming for the first 2 weeks, and the third and fourth week focus on the coming of baby Jesus. And in the gospel today, Jesus tells us to prepare for his coming by staying awake. Stay awake, for you do not know on which day the Lord will come. And if the master of the house had known the hour the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So how do you stay awake, stay sober, stay alert? Did you eat a lot of turkey? Yeah. I mean, I didn't know this actually until this year that like when you eat turkey, like there's like some kind of chemical. Like, it makes you sleepy. You know that? Am I the only one that didn't know? I mean, our family, like, we had this huge turkey, like 24-pound turkey for like 3 people. So that's a lot of turkey. I was very sleepy, you know? Or are there times maybe when you're in the car driving or you're in the passenger seat, you feel sleepy in the car? Yeah. And what do you do to stay awake in the car? There's many methods. Some people turn on the radio. Some people drink coffee. I just pinch myself. And it still doesn't work. But you got to stay focused to stay awake, right? Well, how do you stay awake and focus for the coming of our Savior, and especially focusing on the end times, right? I'm going to propose to you, we're going to start something different this season. Just take a look at that bulletin board back there for me, right? Next to the giving tree, there's a little bookmark thing, you know? I apologize because we ran out of these little cards, okay? But next week you come back, I'll give it to you, okay? All right? The idea is you get these little bookmarks for one representing every week of Advent, and you complete the picture, and the picture, after 4 weeks, it'll look something like the stained glass windows over there. And every week, there's a little something for you. There's a question and an action and a prayer, right? So in a little bit, I'm going to tell you what to do, and maybe this week, I'm just going to ask you to write it down on a piece of paper or write it down on your cell phones. But this week, I ask you to stay awake for the coming of our Savior through prayer. Through prayer. Talking about prayer, do you actually believe in prayer? I mean, I know everybody prays, right? And if you're not praying, you're praying just by sitting down, okay? But do you actually believe that prayer works? Like, do you actually believe in the power of prayer? Maybe you have better faith than me, you know? Because to be honest, sometimes I wonder, like, does this thing really work? Or maybe I wonder, well, I mean, God's smarter than me, right? So he knows everything. Why do I have to, like, say stuff? He should already know, right? Or does that really make a difference is my question. Right? For example, a lot of people, They come to me, you know, after mass, when I see them, they're like, oh, you know, like, can you pray for me? I say, sure, no problem, yeah. And then a lot of times they just get like a Safeway receipt from their purse and just like, oh, I'm going to even write the name down and pray for this person at this hour. They have a court date or they have this important surgery coming up tomorrow at 7 a.m. You got to wake up at 6:59 to pray for them at that time, you know. And I said, sure. most of the times I remember, sometimes I forget. Or do people ask you, hey, can you pray for me? Do the people ask you for that, right? And do you actually pray for them? Right? It seems like whenever there's like a situation, even in the most secular sense, even in the news, even in like ESPN, you know, like sports channels, right? Whenever there's somebody who dies or passes away, even like Fidel Castro, you know, they're like, oh, let's just take a moment of silence and keep him in our thoughts and prayers. And whenever something bad happened, you say, hey, you know, I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm sorry this happened to you or that happened to you. I'll keep you in my prayers. Do you actually pray for them? Huh. Right? And if you do, do you actually believe that those prayers actually work? Or is it just words of being politically correct? Is it words of just sympathy? Or do you actually believe in the power of prayer, right? And I admit, even with all my doubts, my honest self-doubts or, you know, even doubting God sometimes, I'm here to tell you, surprisingly, prayer works. Surprisingly, prayer works. And I have some examples to share with you. Number one, you know, in my journey to becoming a priest, you know, just like in your journey to getting married or any kind of journey that you have, it's not so easy sometimes. There's always obstacles. There's always temptations, issues, and drama. And it's the same thing in the journey to becoming a priest. Like, you know, we have our one seminary. Do you know, have you met our seminarian, Victor, right here? Yeah? Yeah, yeah. Is it easy in your journey to be a priest?
No.
Oh, I guess not, because you went to Bellarmine probably, you know. But Victor, tell us, how many years does it take to be a priest? It could be 7, 8, 9, 10, depending how smart or dumb you are, you know, yeah. You know, but around there, you know, it took me eight. That's a long time. That's like almost a decade, you know. And throughout that time, throughout those 8 years, there are many times where I'm going, what? I know, this is not for me. I shouldn't be doing this, you know, like I should be doing something else, right? But the thing is, every time I felt down, every time I felt like this is not the vocation for me, it's amazing. I got some kind of email, some kind of text message, some kind of phone call, some kind of lunch or dinner that says, hey, you know, Steve, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Just keep it up and you'll be all right. Every time I felt down, I felt some kind of somebody praying for me, right? And especially my mother, that's all she does. Like 24/7. All she does is pray for me. That's like her full-time job, basically, you know? She's like a prayer warrior, you know? Just, that's all she does. Well, no wonder I ended up being a priest, right? No choice, you know? Right? And you know, to be honest, many times, even though I don't talk to her that much, I talk to her every day, okay? Yes, I'm a mama's boy, but still, like, I feel it. I don't know how to describe it. I feel it. And I know for a fact that she's praying for me. And I feel that. And I feel her power. No? I mean, it's the power of Christ through her prayers. I feel that. Last year, right around this time, this lady, this woman, she asked me to pray for her and pray over her because she's been going through drama, family drama, especially with her sister. They are not in good terms. They have not talked to each other for over 40 years. I know. And it's like, now it got me interested. What's it about? You know, like what could it be that, you mean, that, you know? It's like, oh, I don't remember what it was, but we hate each other. You know, it's probably over some stupid thing, you know? But 40 years, they have not talked to each other. 40 years. And she asked me to pray for her, pray over her, you know, that things will work out. And I'm going, really? I don't think this will work, but I will try. So I prayed over her, and we kind of talked about it a little bit, you know, and then that's that. Well, this year, she came back and she says, guess what? What? You know, she says, well, we had Thanksgiving meal together for the first time in over 40 years. Wow. I mean, how is that possible? Because you look like somebody that's very stubborn, you know? And you look like somebody that's not going to give in, you know? I mean, that's my judgment. But how did that happen? Must be prayer. I can't attribute to anything else, right? At the high school, you know, I teach at St. Francis High School in Mountain View. And, you know, there's always teenage stuff, teenage drama. In the last couple weeks, it's been very difficult in our community because we had one of our juniors, he died of a car accident. Okay? It's a nice Filipino family, you know, Justin Quintos. And, you know, it's very hard. It's very hard on me personally, very hard on the faculty, very hard on the students. And nowadays, you know, whenever something happens, like everybody knows within like 30 minutes, right? It's on the social media. Everybody knows what happened. So can you imagine that Monday morning, right, in the community? So I just kind of said a little prayer at the loudspeaker, first period in the morning of that Monday. And I just kind of impromptu, spontaneously said, okay, well, you know, if you want to have, like, mass and pray for Justin and his family, just come on over during lunchtime. You know, and like, keep this in perspective. Like, teenagers, it's a lot of sacrifice to give up lunch, no? Like, you have to make a sacrifice to not eat lunch or make it quick or just, you know, forget the social hour. So it was like an impromptu, you know, optional memorial mass, and we have two lunches over there. But combined, do you know how many students came to that mass? Like about 1,000, over 1,000 students. Wow. Yeah. And not everybody's Catholic. So these are the same teenagers who are going, oh, I don't like God. Oh, this is stupid. You know, I don't like mass. I don't pray. Well, what are we there for? And nobody forced you to come there, but you're there, right? So obviously there's something there, and not just that, but somebody took a picture of that scene, and when the parents came to the school, we told the dad that, you know, this we just had this mass for your son, and he broke down in tears, right? And I spoke with a mom, and the mom says, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how to make sense of this, right? Because it's such a tragedy. But all I know is that I can feel the prayers and I can feel the love. And that's going to bring healing one way or another, right? So that's prayer right there. That's the power of prayer, right? So that's kind of what I ask you to do this week, okay? And since you don't have this little thing, what I ask you to do now is take a piece of paper. Or yes, just for this time, you can take out your cell phones. Use the notes function, okay? All right? Take it out now, okay? Or a piece of paper, notepad, traditional, with a pen or pencil. And each week, I'm going to give you a little dinner conversation for the family, a question to talk about, and then like an action for the family, and there's a prayer, okay? So the question is, and it's like an icebreaker question. It's like a general. It's not like, you know, oh, Jesus is coming. Are you going to go to hell? No, that's not, you know, that's not a good way to start things off, okay? So the conversation, dinner conversation question with your family or friends this week is, what was the greatest surprise for you this year? I'll repeat. What was the greatest surprise for you this year? And how was God involved? Look at the course of this year, how God has worked in you, right? What was the greatest surprise for you this year? How was God involved? And for your action this week to stay sober, alert, stay awake for the coming of our Savior, your action is to pray. But don't just pray for your loved ones. Pray for someone you have particular difficulty. Okay, that's your action. Write that down. Pray for someone you have particular difficulty, right? And ask God for the grace to accept and forgive that person. And perhaps after a week, surprise that person by telling that person, Okay? It's very easy to pray for those who like us, those who we like. But pray for someone you have particular difficulty. And see the power of prayer at work. Right? And it's amazing when you tell that person, hey, I'm praying for you, or I prayed for you, things change. Okay? So that's what I ask you to do this week. You got the question, you got the action. And then you come back next week, I'll have this for you. And then the second week, bookmarks, we'll make more copies for you.